Anna Sheridan, missing for nearly 6 months now.
That's not possible. How did I
Someone with a more vivid imagination might decide she'd pierced the veil. There's no place for ghost stories in this investigation, or any other.
I need you to find me.
The Sheridan Tapes, a serialized horror mystery podcast. Stream the complete series today on Realm and on all podcasting platforms.
Hey everybody, welcome to the Dungeon Cast. I'm Brian.
And I'm Will.
This is the podcast where we talk about everything Dungeons and Dragons, from stalwart sorcerers to sadistic sprites. And today we're talking about storm giants.
Year of the big guy.
So big guy. What's up, you big guy?
Now let's talk about the biggest guy.
This one is not, it's greater than a cloud. It's the storm. It's a culmination of clouds, maybe. Indeed.
Well, kind of. Yeah, I guess like, I suppose so.
I don't know what it is, really. You're here to tell me what it is, though.
I am. So storm giants are the most powerful and majestic of all giant kind in Dungeons & Dragons. They are also the most aloof, reclusive, and the least understood of all giant kind.
Okay.
A large part of this mystery is due to the extremely isolated lives they live, far removed from anywhere a mortal could feasibly wander.
And the lack of Dungeon Cast episodes covering it.
That
which
too.
Has been solved. Here we
Indeed
are.
Indeed it has. Here we are. The other part is simply that the nature of a storm giant's mind is difficult for most to grasp. Philosophical, contemplative, stoic, and mystical are all words that describe a storm giant, but that is only part of the picture. Storm giants have innate oracle powers of prophecy.
Oh.
They can see omens and portents and all the things around them. Furthermore, they live extremely long lives, giving them a similar detachment to the material that elves have. They are also inherent spellcasters capable of hurling lightning and calling down rain like minor weather deities.
Okay, cool.
It is said that the Uvar-Jotun, which is the giant name for storm giants, aren't just forces of nature. They are bound to nature and are extensions of it in mystical ways that humans find hard to comprehend. They are considered to be chaotic good. This is the final of the true giants for this year of the big guy, and without a doubt, and for obvious reasons, they are my favorite.
So this is the final true giant. But Will, it's only July.
I know. We have more big guy episodes.
More big guys.
There's Fomorians to cover. There's Empyreans to cover. There is ogres are technically giants. And there are some ogre stat blocks that I would like to cover, including the sea ogre and the ogre mercenaries presented to us in Volo's Guide. And there are giants that are not depicted in 5th edition, but are considered to be true giants from previous editions, such as the Jungle Giant, the Fog Giant, and other giants I can't think of right now, but there's like 4 or 5 of them.
So hell yeah. So
we've got, and then there's still the giant pantheon we haven't covered yet.
And we got big guys to go. So
yeah,
this
we got
is,
big guys to go.
We've even covered big guys that aren't ordining big guys. They're just big.
Yeah, they're just big guys.
So, but this is the biggest and truest of true giants?
Yeah, the biggest of the 6 true giants.
It's the top of the ordining.
Top of the ordining. Absolute pinnacle.
Running the show.
Running the show. Except for they're not, because they ignore the show.
They're super aloof.
Yeah, they're really aloof.
Contemplating the demise of X and Y.
Mm-hmm,
okay.
Mm-hmm. Storm giants resemble well-formed humans of gargantuan proportions and statuesque features. Adult males and females are about 26 feet tall and weigh about between 12,000 to 15,000 pounds.
Wow.
Really big boys. Across the various editions of D&D, there seem to be essentially 2 distinct depictions of the storm giant. Earlier editions claim that most storm giants have pale light green skin with dark green hair and beards and glittering emerald eyes. More rarely, it was said there existed violet-skinned storm giants with deep violet or bluish-black hair.
That's
with,
cool.
With silvery gray or purple eyes.
That's really cool.
Then fourth edition went with a blue-skinned with white hair super lightning-ified version for a bit that no one really talks about.
Okay, yeah. Seems like very hit and miss in fourth edition. Yeah.
I mean, it was fucking cool, but no one really talks about it because it's fourth edition.
Right.
And now, finally, in 5e, it seems that they have come back and solidified itself back on the violet version. As a definitive look for storm giants.
I out of the descriptions you gave me, that was probably my favorite. Yeah,
they look super fucking dope.
Okay, well, let's take a look.
Oh, okay. While you're going to pull it out. Okay. Yeah, I'll keep talking. You go searching.
Now I can
look. Regardless of their color palette, storm giants can live to be about 600 years old. A storm giant's garb is usually a very well-tailored, short, loose tunic belted at the waist, sandals or bare feet, and a headband or helmet. They usually carry pouches attached to their belts. These hold only a few tools, necessities, and sometimes simple musical instruments. Other than the jewelry they wear, most storm giants prefer to leave their wealth in their lairs.
Okay, that's cool.
So not like cloud giants at all, who have to like show it off constantly.
Right, wearing their best, their Sunday best every day and stuff. Yes. Okay.
Did you look up the storm giant? And what
I did.
Like?
It's very cool. Yeah. I'm seeing a lot of blue here.
I'm colorblind, so.
Oh, damn, son. Yeah. I didn't know that. Okay, but like, what is the...
That first one on the end is the 5e, the new and definitive version. I think their skin looks purplish, but...
Yeah, I can kind of see. It's like between a blue and a purple.
Yeah.
I can. Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. Kind of like a violet then, I would think.
Yeah, yeah. Okay. It's almost kind of gray.
It's interesting. Yeah, but if you pump up that saturation a bit, you'll get
that. I'm sure. I'm sure. I can see. There are others that are more... they're drawn with that as a more prominent color, the violet.
Kinda. Yeah, I think so anyways.
Yeah.
Like maybe look up Storm Giant Quintessent, and that, I think that might be more purpley.
Is Quintessent? Oh, there we go.
Is it more purpley?
Yeah.
It is?
This came up in the original search, too. It's definitely more purpley.
Yeah, so there you go. All right, so storm giants are said to be gentle and reclusive. They are benevolent and wise unless angered, in response to which the fury of a storm giant is a terror to behold and can affect the fate of thousands.
Ooh.
Storm giants live in isolated refuges so far above the surface of the world or below the sea that they are beyond the reach of most other creatures. Some make their abodes in cloud-top castles so high that flying dragons appear as specks below. Others live atop mountain peaks that pierce the clouds. Some occupy palaces covered with algae and coral at the bottom of the ocean, or grim fortresses in undersea rifts. One kind of location that invariably draws the attention of storm giants, though, is an elemental crossing, where the material plane and the elemental planes intersect.
Ooh.
And interact. Elemental influence pervades the architecture of storm giants. And leads to tempestuous, unearthly quality to their homes. Storm giants use elemental crossings for their own transplanar wandering, especially into the plane of air and the plane of water. The frequent whirlpools, tornadoes, and rainstorms that buffer the passages to those two planes help to safeguard the giant's home and ensure their privacy.
Okay, aren't those typically really chaotic places where the planes kind of touch together?
Yes.
That's crazy. Yeah. Is their house like amorphous? You know, like,
no, it's just they're big, strong, and they build big, strong houses.
I built my house so big and strong.
And that's the idea. Is like, this place sucks for anyone who isn't big and strong, but I'm big and strong, so this place is fine.
Good home for big, strong me.
Yeah, except for they're way more intelligent. Don't speak broken sentences like that.
But they're giants. How
they're very refined and highly intelligent, and they can see the future, man.
That's lower ordning shit.
Yeah, that's some lower ordning shit. Yeah.
All right.
So, God dang, this stupid app. Storm giants communicate infrequently with others of their kind. They don't compete for status in the ordning, but instead live out the centuries of their existence in contemplative seclusion, watching the starry heavens and the ocean depths for signs, symbols, and omens of Anam's favor. If you remember, Anam's the all-father of the giants. He's, they're everything dad.
My everything dad.
Mm-hmm. Storm giants see the events of the world from a wide perspective of those who see much and live long. They can foretell the rise and fall of empires, kings, and dragons. They see the beginnings and end of fortune and disaster and find these patterns within seemingly unrelated events.
Okay.
By reading omens and prophesying, storm giants learn of vast secrets previously unknown and troves of lore utterly forgotten. Kings will rise and fall, wars will be won and lost, and good and evil will wrestle in conflict. Storm giants have watched these events in a manner of mortal gods over many lifetimes, and they see it as pointless to intervene much of the time. Even so, a storm giant might willingly disclose certain secrets to benevolent beings that visit its remote domain for specific purposes.
Okay.
Such creatures must speak and act respectfully, however, for a storm giant will not tolerate disrespect.
Got it. So maybe this is too big scale, but like Bahamut. Mm-hmm. Would Bahamut be rolling up on a storm giant for some advice or some insight into
It's events? Funny that you bring up Bahamut, because Bahamut is actually tied to the power of prophesying. So I don't think so.
Okay, so Bahamut can handle it himself.
He himself has like future vision powers.
Okay, so somebody answering to Bahamut would not go to a storm giant. So, but probably they would go to Bahamut.
But I could also see Bahamut and storm giants getting along kind of well, but at the same time, their interests don't really align for a lot of reasons. Number one being giants hate dragons.
Yeah, that's right.
That's number one.
And vice versa, right?
And vice versa, again, there's bad blood. Number two is even storm giants, for all their like chaotic goodness, like what they want is to retake over the world. They want to, you know, not in a evil subjugation kind of way, but in like a, we are.
I'm the rightful owner of the shit.
We were here first, and this is our land, and all that other shit. And they have the power to do so.
Maybe there's like one cool storm giant that's cool with Bahamut that they he flies by sometimes. Like, you see that fucking latest prophecy, and he's like, "Yup," and then that's it.
Right. Yeah, that, yeah, I can see that. Yeah, sure.
That's some wild shit, right?
Yeah.
You know it. All right, later.
But yeah, so like their end goals don't really align, so I don't think they'd be friends.
Yeah. Okay.
But yeah. Anyways, although a storm giant prefers to live outside the company of other giants, it isn't necessarily alone in its stronghold. Storm giants share their abodes with other creatures that are comfortable in the extreme environments where they dwell. A sea-dwelling storm giant, for example, might have a few merfolk, tritons, and even a dragon turtle for companions.
Cool.
While a storm giant living on a mountain peak could extend a friendly hand to any pegasi or griffins that happen by, or might even welcome yetis into its home for a time if it believes it could be trusted.
Sure.
Now, the last sentence I just said is a weird one.
Yeah, yetis are... nasty.
But it's also a direct quote from Volo's Guide.
Okay.
Now, we haven't talked much about yetis on the show, but in D&D, they are chaotic evil killing machines. I have no idea what sane storm giant lets a pack of those live in their home.
I don't know. Yeah, because like they were presented to me in game as like they're trying to fucking eat my bones and grind them up into dust.
Yeah, exactly. Yetis are, again, they're chaotic evil killing machines. And like even if the storm giant can like handle them because, you know, they're way weaker than he is or she is. It would be like inviting a pack of rabid miniature bears into your house.
Maybe that's the kind of party you're throwing, though.
I guess so. I don't know. I see that as not a good time.
It depends. It depends.
Regardless, whatever guests a giant chooses to invite into their home are expected to be respectful and to make themselves useful and to provide interesting conversation or other entertainment when the giant feels like being sociable.
Okay.
So it does come with a price of sorts. So, though extremely solitary, storm giants do at times come together in groups. They do so usually to compare signs and omens or to engage in a rare courtship. Mm-hmm. Still, storm giant parents stay together only long enough to raise a child to maturity, then return to the solitary isolation that they so cherish. Though storm giants do not vie for status within their ordning, they do have a strict hierarchy, as all giants do. They follow an ordning called the Ordning of Omens. Each storm giant knows its status in the ordning by the signals the universe sends them. Omens might be seen in the wheeling flight of a flock of birds, the patterns in sand left by a receding tide, the shapes of clouds, or any number of other natural phenomena. Storm giants that receive the greatest number of such messages generally rank the highest, but the significance of individual signs can also affect one's status. On the rare occasions when storm giants meet, omens and signs accompany each individual, making it plain to all who are present who ranks where in the ordning.
Fuck.
So they can all just look at each other and they can see who's top dog.
Damn.
Yeah.
It's like under C. Carl, he's really slipping these days.
The thing is, too, it's not in their control.
They right, yeah, decide. It's just like omens. Yeah. Like,
so that I think that's a big reason why they're not vying for status is because the status is fluctuating probably regularly.
Yeah.
And they all know that they don't have control over it. So there's not this sense of pride or like, you know what I mean?
This is the fluid leaderboard that stone giants don't have. Stone giants are carving their leaderboard in. They got to make a new tablet.
Yeah.
This is a digital or closest we can get to a digital leaderboard.
There we go. Dragons. Yes. It is shifting and it's moving. Yeah.
It's not based off of anything they're doing. Well, it probably is based off of like actual physical events, right?
Well, it's based off of omens and how many that they're receiving.
Yeah, I mean, step it back a step. Like the omen is the result of like the culmination of blah blah blah. Basically, determining the leaderboard is based off of like some sort of merit at the end of the day.
I don't think so.
Really? Okay, it's just like,
well, it depends. Like, you would have to define where the omens are coming from. Are the omens coming from the giant pantheon, and then they're choosing those of worth to get those omens, then I guess there's some sort of merit, some sort of secret algorithm behind it all that they can't like discern themselves because they're mortals and the gods are mysterious. Sure, maybe. Or maybe it's just happenstance.
Okay.
Or maybe it's just some innate skill that they have. So like the better you are at the seeing of the omens, then the higher you are. In that case, it's a type of meritocracy, but it's one you're kind of born with.
Yeah,
skill that you could practice and get better at. Like, that's the thing, is you have to define what omen reading is.
Okay.
Which this does not.
Okay, that's where
but
my
the way,
root question
yeah,
is.
Yeah, the way it reads is as if it's all out of their control. They don't choose any of this stuff. It just happens to them.
Yeah, so it probably hurts you as a dungeon master to try and quantify stuff up this level.
Yeah, I think so.
Okay.
I can't see a reason to need to, but I don't know what kind of campaigns people be running, so
yeah.
I don't know. That being said, let's short rest.
Oh. Hey folks, I'm here today to tell you about Visible. Something unfortunate about wireless services, what you see isn't always what you get. But with Visible, what you see is what you get. No perception check required. Switch to Visible, the wireless company that makes wireless visible. Get a one-line plan with unlimited 5G data powered by Verizon for just $25 a month, taxes and fees included. If you're looking for a carrier that is upfront with no hidden fees, then go to Visible.com to make the switch. You don't need more than one line of wireless to save, and you're going to be getting unlimited 5G data powered by Verizon. Visible is the wireless carrier that's constantly operating from a zone of truth. In their quest for total transparency, Visible wants you to know monthly rate on the Visible plan. For data management practices and additional terms, visit Visible.com. Save on wireless without the hassle. Switch to Visible today and save at Visible.com. Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage to the first real-life store stage, all the way to did we just hit a million orders stage? Shopify is there to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify's got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout, 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify is great. They're taking businesses of all sizes, cradling them in their arms, to help them grow by giving them the tools they need. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S., and Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success at every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/dungeoncast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/dungeoncast now to grow your business no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/dungeoncast. Hey everybody, be sure to check out
Super Quest Saga,
a future fantasy 5th edition D&D actual play podcast homebrewed and dungeon mastered by yours truly, me, and set in space.
And I play in it, along with your special guest Jake and friend of the show, Josh Freeland.
You can find it on YouTube, iTunes, or anywhere else you can get your podcasts.
Super Quest Saga!
We've returned.
Indeed we have.
We're back.
Talking about storm giants still.
So big.
So let's get into the many reasons that I wouldn't truly categorize storm giants into the chaotic good category.
Okay, let's do it.
Well, the alignment chart just doesn't really fit any of the giants, any giant kind of any kind.
Alignment chart's so weird.
Yeah, and and on top of that, yeah, the alignment chart is hard to apply to anything.
I guess
giants more so.
They're redoing it in the light of social change going on right now. They're like
redoing the alignment chart.
They're gonna reanalyze. They're gonna redo it. They're gonna make it. I don't know, man. There's some tweets that went out. From wizards that were that are in charge of that.
I thought I heard something along the lines of their reanalyzing like the idea of applying an alignment to. The thing that we talk about on the show all the time, like, should a society of anything be generally chaotic evil? You know,
right? Yeah, there's that. That might be what they mean specifically.
That's what I heard. I didn't hear about the alignment chart itself being changed.
I think that's what I mean to say is like they're going to change the way the alignment chart is applied, or something
that
like,
makes
something
more
of
sense.
That nature.
But yeah, the alignment chart
in front of me.
The alignment chart is difficult to apply to anything, and giant kind even more so because of their blue orange morality.
There it is.
Their adherence to concepts of Mott and Mog. I think that over the course of this episode, it'll be obvious to see what I mean about, like, are they really chaotic good? I don't know if that applies.
Okay.
So storm giants recall the glory of ancient giant empires forged by the god Anam. They seek to restore what was lost when those empires fell. Ever since Astoria fell and Anam abandoned his children, no sole king or emperor has ruled over giant kind since. Arguments about ranking within the Ordning are rare among storm giants, but all of their kind studiously examine every sign for evidence that one among them might be the greatest yet.
That's, I was going to say, like, Top Dog Storm Giant is most likely to godhood. Yeah?
No, not really. Okay. The reason they're so, might be the greatest yet, since the revelation of the fact of the greatest of them yet would herald Anam's return to them.
Oh, yeah. I see.
They're okay. Not trying to become gods or anything like that.
Okay, yeah. So they just want Anam back.
Yeah, they want their father to forgive them for failing him. According to legend, the arrival of such a leader will be presaged by signs and omens in all the elements of the world, the sky, the sea, the continents, and the underworld. All of these are realms of the storm giants, which maintain a constant watch for the all-important signs. In ages past, when giant dynasties reigned, the signs that accompanied the leader of them all were clear and unmistakable. In the centuries since the Empire's collapse, the few signs manifested have been muddied, conflicting, and contentious.
Ooh.
Without an emperor to serve as their political and spiritual head, the Storm Giants are adrift on an uncertain sea. Every possibility encapsulated in every sign is exhaustively examined. Debates over the meaning and validity of this or that omen are conducted across human kingdoms and spanning human lifetimes.
That description sounds pretty chaotic, yeah? Like the chaos that comes from sure. this uncertainty.
But that doesn't have anything to do with the nature of their personalities.
I think it would have like an effect on them, like trying to just debate and discern these weird omens.
Yeah, you know? But that isn't inherently a chaotic like behavior.
Yeah, it's just a chaotic externality. Yeah.
The omens are chaotic and they're upset about it.
Yeah, okay.
Explorers and adventurers can find opportunity in this situation, since storm giants do sometimes hire agents that they dispatch to investigate portents and to retrieve items the giants need for their oracles. But this is dangerous work for two reasons. The obvious one is that the task involves delving into ancient Nestorian ruins that have been sealed for millennia, an empire known for its might, magical prowess, and complex architecture, and their unrivaled machinery.
Ooh.
Who the fuck knows what you're going to run into in there? Whatever it is going to be big, bad, and dangerous, probably.
So they're making, like, they're inventing shit up there? They're, like, building machines?
I'm talking about ancient ruins.
Oh, wait. Of giants?
Or yeah. Like, okay. I'm talking about, like, working for storm giants, like, as an adventurer.
Uh-huh.
They're going to send you to these places.
Okay.
I said it's dangerous for two reasons.
Oh,
that's
okay.
That's the first reason. The second reason, and it's a little less obvious, is that the certain portents that they're sending adventurers to find, if confirmed to be true, would indeed bring about the return of Anam, upending the giant social order and initiating a new age. Some would welcome such a change. Others would oppose it bitterly and do all they could to stop it, possibly resorting to an all-out war. It could even mean the giants coming together again under one banner and set to dominate the world once again.
Okay, so like the return of Anam is what this is all pretty much about.
For the storm giants, yeah.
Yeah.
Although I'm sure there are some storm giants that were like, nah, we don't want that again.
You okay, know what I mean? That seems strange that there's this divide over it.
I don't think it's a big divide. I would think there's just probably some that are like,
some
nah,
defectors. We don't want so, like, that, I kind of like things the way they are now.
Or even just like the omens come announcing a change, but maybe it's not the change that the storm giants wanted. It's a change that fire giants would be super about, though.
Okay.
And like, you know what I mean? And it could just cause... I would say that this is... I have never played Storm King's Thunder, the adventurer guide, but I'm pretty sure that's the premise. I'm pretty sure the premise is that the storm giants figured out that shit is everything's upended. There is no ordering anymore, and the giants are now fighting for top dog.
Oh, shit. Yeah,
but I've never played it, so I don't actually know that. I've read that.
Okay.
Anyways, moving on. For quite obvious reasons, every storm giant has a strong personal interest in how soon Anam's return comes to pass. They all want to live to see it. Some storm giants attempting to forestall the inevitable and approaching the end of their naturally long lifespans can seek an escape from death. They plumb the depths of their powerful connection to the elements, and through ritual manage to disperse themselves into nature, literally transforming into semi-conscious storms and giving up their giant form pretty much permanently.
Here I am. I'm going to rock you like a hurricane.
Indeed.
For reals, though.
For reals, though. That's what I am. The blizzard that rages unendingly around a mountain peak, the vortex that swirls around a remote island, or the thunderstorm that howls ceaselessly up and down a rugged coastline could, in fact, be the undying form of a storm giant clinging to existence. Gaining a measure of immortality for themselves by merging with elemental forces. These beings are called Storm Giant Quintessence and are the most reclusive and rare of their kind, layering in remote and inhospitable sites surrounded by brutal winds and murderous weather.
That's cool.
Yeah.
You know how when you beat a big sandbox game and like the regular storyline that was probably pretty fucking epic is done, and now you just get to go like fuck around.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And wouldn't it be cool to like lean into that in your campaign? Like you maybe didn't kill a storm giant, but you defeated a storm giant and escape at some point and blah, blah, blah. Really big, bad, evil guy character. Mm-hmm. And then later on when things are off the rails and you're high level running around murder hoboing across the countryside, it's like a fucking tornado comes around the corner. It's like, it's me, motherfuckers.
Yeah,
time to fight.
I'm back. Yeah, that'd be fun. That'd be cool.
This is cool.
Cool session.
I like that.
So a storm giant quintessence can revert to its true giant form on a whim. The change is temporary, though, but can be maintained long enough for the giant to communicate with a mortal, carry out a short task, or defend its home against aggressors. A storm giant quintessence has no need for crafted armor or weapons, and instead uses its power to form makeshift weapons out of air, thunder, and lightning.
Ooh, neat.
When the giant has no further use of them, or when the giant dies, its elemental weapons disappear.
Okay.
So in the absence of both Anam and a worldly emperor, storm giants recognize no higher authority. Human, elf, and dwarf kings, liches, grand sorcerers, and wizards all might amass what they consider great power, but they have no influence over the storm giants. And any who try extending their reach in that direction are guaranteed to come to grief. But as long as the world leaves the storm giants alone, the giants are likely to leave the world alone.
Okay.
They wish neither good nor ill on the realm of humanity. They simply don't give much thought to the matter at all, except on the rare occasions when humans crop up in a prophecy or are hinted at by an omen. When storm giants do interact with non-giants, those on the receiving end of their attention might question the notion of that storm giants are good creatures. They respect the principle of sanctity of life, but even the calmest of storm giants has a tremendous temper. When one is roused to anger, principle gives way to fury, and an offense committed by one person against a giant can bring furious retribution down on an entire community. A storm giant that destroys a town and kills innocents in a fit of rage is likely to regret it afterward and might offer payment to make amends, though a sack of old is likely little comfort to those who've lost loved ones, homes, and livelihoods.
Sorry, I flooded the shit out of your town.
Yeah, exactly.
Here's 40 gold.
And this is where it's like they're not really chaotic good. They're just kind of like
chaotic assholes.
But only not most of the time. It's just sometimes one goes into a rage and does that. You know what I mean? And it's just like... What the fuck, bro?
Yeah. Oh, fuck you guys. Oh, damn. I'm sorry.
Yeah, exactly.
Okay, whatever.
So it's always...
That does suck.
Yeah. It's always wise to tread softly, speak deferentially, and act respectfully in the presence of a giant, but this is especially true of storm giants.
Just randomly get pissed.
Yeah, exactly. They remind me of Greek gods. Maybe less malicious than Greek gods.
Yeah, Greek gods are more conniving and stuff.
Exactly.
Like throwing thunderbolts down and shit.
But they remind me of, I think Empyreans are like this too, where it's like they're really benevolent, but they can throw a tantrum if they don't get their way.
Yeah. So you were saying these creatures, storm giants, are closely linked to like the elemental natures and stuff.
Yeah.
How like the elements can get chaotic like
it's
that.
True.
And start
it's true.
Wrecking
sometimes,
shit.
Most of the time the weather's great, but sometimes the weather's not so great.
Sometimes the weather's not so great.
Yeah. So
the weather doesn't try to pay you after though.
No, it doesn't. The weather don't give a shit. So some humanoid cultures go as far as worshiping storm giants as they would worship lesser gods, creating myths and stories around the giant's exploits and vast knowledge. A storm giant is governed by the dictates of its conscience, however, and not by any culture's laws or codes of honors. As such, a storm giant that bends its mind toward greed or gains a taste for petty power can easily become a terrible threat. So again, see, they're not all chaotic good. Sometimes they're just fucking evil.
Cool. Yeah.
Speaking of god worship, storm giants pay homage to Stronmas, the eldest of Anam's children, who is, funnily enough, known as the most joyful and most prone to laughter and enjoying fellowship with his siblings of all Anam's children.
Okay.
This image of Stronmas is in very sharp contrast to how storm giants are perceived in the world, stoic, aloof, and even dour. But in the giant's legend, Stronmas is also subject to gray moods and deep brooding that are just as intense as his moments of good humor. It's also true the storm giants aren't quite as humorless as popular notions paint them to be. They're quite quiet and reserved when they're by themselves or around non-giants, which is how they spend most of their time. But when they get together with others of their kind, they enjoy mirth, song, and drink as much as Stronmas himself does.
Okay.
For the sake of their privacy and for the safety of smaller beings in the vicinity, these rare gatherings almost always occur far from the presence of other creatures, thus perpetuating the giants' reputation for always being gloomy and grim. Despite not technically having a worldly ruler, there is still a singular storm giant at the very top of the ordning. This storm giant is known as the Paramount. This one giant outranks all other giants in the world.
Okay. Is the Paramount the super pseudo giant of this giant type?
No, the Quintessent was.
Oh, that. Oh, okay. Yeah. Do we have? Oh, yeah. I do have that stat block. Yeah. Okay, good.
But the Paramount is like the king of all storm giants. So it's not really the king, but like kind of the king.
The ordaining leader.
Yeah, like literally, top like dog. When you get through the ordaining at the very, very top, there's nobody above the Paramount except for the gods themselves.
So is the Paramount more solidified than like some of the other lower ordaining rankers? Like, or it can change from.
Yeah, again. Well, with the storm giants, it's all about the omens, right? So the Paramount is getting the utmost omens. It's the best at reading them and all that other stuff. But I suppose if it all dried up, yeah, he wouldn't be the, or she wouldn't be, they wouldn't be the Paramount
getting
anymore.
Getting top shelf omens, dude.
Yeah, top shelf omens, indeed.
And when it's not your time anymore and you got to go back to mid shelf omens, it's going to be tough. You're going to get mad.
It's, I guess so. But no, but like they don't take it personally. They're just like, I'm just not Paramount anymore. Oh, damn. Like I did that for a few years and then it stopped.
Okay.
So, any questions about storm giants before we get into the two stat blocks I've given you?
They're hard to like kind of imagine as like real, like I'm not getting a good read on a personality here, you know. It's
Well, I mean, they're stoic and they're
Unless it's time to party.
Unless it's time to party. But yeah, generally speaking, like they're deep thinkers, they're stoic, they're quiet.
Smoking them good omens.
The things that they are interested in, the things that they, their goals and stuff are like really like long lived wide view shit, which is something people are very bad at. So I can see why it might be difficult to wrap your head around like the way they think and the, their personality. You know what I mean?
Yeah. So it's just like, ooh, how are you using this in a game?
I mean, you could have the storm giant, a storm giant hire a group of party, of adventurers to go do something. You could have where the storm giant's pissed because something has gone down. Now he's kind of like trouncing around the countryside and doing shit.
So it's like
you're having to please him. Because
Maybe
humans done fucked up and they accidentally like threw a giant rock in his giant undersea palace because they were doing stupid shit.
Rock. Yeah. Can't wait to read that part of the stat block. So a storm giant might reach out to adventurers and say like, I got a crazy omen. To go to this place, but I'm not going to go.
Yeah,
you mortals need to go there to fulfill this prophecy.
Absolutely. Or maybe the adventurers are just doing their thing and like they get caught up in these crazy events and they needed this one magic item and they managed to figure out that this one storm giant in his underwater lair happens to be the sole owner of that one item. So you have to go there and try and barter for the item. Of course, he's going to want something in return. And then you got adventure.
Would there be a incident with maybe cloud giants needing the assistance of a higher ranked giant, like a storm giant, to come settle an issue?
Yeah, I could see that for sure.
Okay, that's kind of interesting because I could see mortals are closely linked to cloud giants in a lot of cases. So
yeah, more so. Yeah, I could see that.
So maybe like your segue into the storm giant is through other giants.
Yeah,
so.
I could definitely see that. Absolutely. Okay,
let's stat block it up.
All right, let's do it.
Storm giants, they're huge giants. Chaotic good. Armor class 16 with scale mail. All your storm giant art has, they're wearing armor. They're carrying a weapon, pretty much.
Yeah, but they're also wearing tunics with the skirt and all that.
Yeah. Hit points, 230 or 20 d12s plus 100. Speed is 50 feet. Swimming, 50 feet. Makes sense. Strength, 29. Dex, 14. Con, 20. Intelligence, 16.
Sorry, I just had this image of like you're just out there fishing in your boat and suddenly a storm giant's just like pleasure swimming by. You know what I mean? Just going out for a swim. Can you imagine just giant fucking arms breaststroking?
There will be a big wave.
It's like, oh shit.
It has been foretold. Yeah.
But continue.
18 wisdom and 18 charisma. Straight saving throws, plus 14 strength, plus 10 con, plus 9 wisdom, and plus 9 charisma. That's a lot.
Mm-hmm.
Skills, arcana, plus 8. Athletics, plus 14. History, plus 8. Perception, plus 9. Fucking doing like the 50 meter and shit. Past
yeah,
the
that's yeah, exactly yeah. That's exactly what I was picturing.
So good at it. Damage resistance to cold. Immunities to lightning and thunder. Its senses has, passive perception is 19, language common and giant, and the challenge rating is 13. Like, wasn't the Rakshasa 13?
Yeah.
This is the same.
Rakshasas are powerful, bro.
Oh, wow, man. This is the biggest giant.
Yeah, I know. It's the biggest giant.
Holy crap. Well, this really puts it into perspective.
The Quintessent is more powerful.
Yes, all the super giants are. So Amphibious, this giant can breathe air and water. It has innate spellcasting. The giant's innate spellcasting ability is Charisma, spell save DC 17. Pretty good. It can innately cast the following spells requiring no material components at will. Detect magic, feather fall, levitate light. That's cool. If you fall out of your house, like the storm giant isn't immune to fall damage.
No, sure.
You're going to want to feather fall that. Three a day, you can control weather and water breathing. That's pretty cool. Mm-hmm. Why do you need water? Water breathing to make other creatures breathe water, not exactly. You.
Yeah.
Makes sense. You need mortals at your house for some reason. You're under the sea. Multi-attack. The giant makes two great sword attacks. Great sword is plus 15, plus 14 to hit with a reach of 10 feet. Makes sense. One target.
That reach should be longer if you ask me.
I think so too, because you're telling me this is bugbear status?
This, yeah. Are you telling me this 26-foot giant using a great sword size for them, that great sword can only reach 10 feet? Fuck no. Nah, that should be 15 to 20 feet reach.
Only stab downward around him.
It's ridiculous.
I think that would be insane, 20 feet. I'm definitely going to homebrew that up.
Yeah, well, think about it. It's 26 feet tall. A greatsword's usually as tall as a person. So we're talking about a 26-tall greatsword.
He should be able to fucking hit everybody.
Exactly.
Multiple people. There's not really attacks like that besides like cone attacks, huh? Is there a melee weapon attack that does like cone damage? That would be kind of cool to flavor in here.
That'd be kind of cool. Why does that sound familiar? I feel like there's a video game where a greatsword does like AoE damage like that. And I can't think of what game it is.
I mean, a video game is one thing. We're talking about Dungeons and Dragons.
No, I know. I'm just saying, like, it's The Witcher. In The Witcher, there's weapons that can do that. Anyways.
That's cool.
You can get back to this.
We got a rock, which is a ranged weapon attack with plus 14 to hit. The range is 60/240 feet with one target in mind. The hit is 35 bludgeoning damage. Right.
Sorry, I have another discrepancy with range here. 20 to 40 feet. This dude's 26 feet tall. He should be able to throw that rock like fucking 100 and something feet.
No, 60 to 240 feet. Okay. Yeah. Sorry. 240 feet. We're good. That's a long.
Yeah, that's very far.
It's a long ways.
It's a good rock throw.
So lightning strike is an action with a recharge on 5 to 6 on a D6. So the giant hurls a magical lightning bolt at a point it can see within 500 feet of it. Each creature Each creature with a 10 feet within 10 feet of that point must make a DC 17 dexterity saving throw, taking 12 D8 lightning damage on a failed save or half as much on a success. So just fucking wreck shop right in some random location.
I gotta say, if you're gonna fight a storm giant, do not like let him know that you're anywhere near in hostile until you are very close to him. Because if he's hitting you for 500 feet out, how many rounds of free lightning is he getting until you get to him?
Because
you're not getting to him. You're not getting to him.
Probably
you're
going to
get hit by so much lightning, you will die.
Yeah, because you're taking half damage. Yeah, so you're taking 27 each time he does this shit. Mm-hmm. And it's not just one dude. It's you and your companion. So what are you going to do? Spread out? And then he's just going to go fucking like roll up to you and wreck you with a greatsword? Yeah.
Well, no, he's just going to stand there until you get close enough. Like, why not just keep calling it down every 6 seconds, right? So how many?
Yeah.
Like, let's say they're dashing so they could maybe.
It is on a recharge. Feet. So you're going to have to alternate between that and rock.
There is a recharge. But still, there's also rock.
Yeah.
Rock, lightning, rock, lightning.
Yeah.
Lightning, rock.
And yeah, if this dude gets a couple of good recharge rolls in a row, that's bad news.
Yeah,
that's real bad news. Yeah. But yeah, you're most likely, if you are not sneaking up on this guy, if you're fending him off in that scenario, you're not going to get there.
No.
You're going to recharge at least a few times.
Yeah. Want to go over the quintessence?
Oh, that's right. A long stat block.
Big stat block.
Okay, here we go. Storm giant, quintessent, huge giant, storm giant, chaotic good.
Huge giant, storm giant.
The armor class is 12.
Uh-huh, because they don't wear armor
That's
anymore.
Right. Yeah.
They are lightning beings.
So we got the HP at 230, which is the same, and the speed is 50 feet of movement, 50 feet of hover, and 50 feet of swimming. So the hover's added onto there.
Yeah, they can fly.
29 strength, 14 dex, 20 con, 17 intelligence, which is one higher than the 16, 20 wisdom, which is higher, and 19 charisma, which is higher. So strength, plus 14 strength, plus 10 con, plus 10 wisdom, plus 9 charisma, the plus 8 arcana, plus 8 history, plus 10 perception. They're resistant to not only cold, but bludgeoning, piercing, and slashing from non-magical attacks. and they are immune to lightning and thunder. Mm-hmm. True sight of 60 feet, pretty cool. Yeah. And then passive perception of 20, pretty cool. Mm-hmm. Common and giant for languages. Challenge rating is 16, which is 3 higher than the challenge 13 storm giant.
Yeah, it's pretty dang high, actually. 16, is we're really getting there.
We're getting there. So amphibious is the giant can breathe air and water, just like before. Multi-attack. The giant makes 2 lightning sword attacks or uses a wind javelin twice. Lightning sword is a melee weapon attack with plus 14 to hit with a reach of 15 feet. So that's mm-hmm. a little better. Mm-hmm. And then you get 1 target with 40 lightning damage or 9d6 plus 9. The wind javelin is the giant coalesces wind into a javelin-like form and hurls it at a creature it can see within 600 feet. The javelin is considered a magic weapon, deals 19 or 3d6 plus 9 piercing damage to the target, striking unerringly. The javelin disappears after it hits. So this is just going to do... This is just going to hit you.
Yeah.
There's nothing about
it. This is way worse than the lightning. And it's from 600 feet out. Can you imagine?
No
and
recharge. It's flying. It just hits
it's just
you.
It's throwing wind javelins from the sky. It'll never miss.
It does it twice in one round.
Exactly.
That's insane. Mm-hmm. Okay, so that's bad news.
Yeah, this challenge rating is definitely based off damage output, I think.
Legendary actions as well. So the giant can take 3 legendary actions. You guys should know how that works at this point, right? Mm-hmm. So Gust, the giant targets a creature it can see within 60 feet of it and creates a magical gust of wind around it. The target must succeed a DC 18 strength saving throw or be pushed up to 20 feet in any horizontal direction the giant chooses. Next one is Thunderbolt, which takes 2 of its legendary actions. Mm-hmm. The giant hurls a Thunderbolt at a creature it can see within 600 feet of it. The target must make a DC 18 dexterity saving throw, taking 22 or 4d10 thunder damage on a failed save or mm-hmm. half as much on a success. So it's still Thunderbolting people. Yeah.
Thunderbolt, air javelins, gust attacks.
Yeah, it's like an alternating between... All that stuff is crazy. So one with the storm, which takes all 3 legendary actions. The giant vanishes, dispersing itself into the storm surrounding its lair. The giant can end this effect at the start of any of its turns, becoming a giant once more and appearing in any location it chooses within its lair. While dispersed, the giant can't take any actions other than the lair actions, and it can't be targeted by attacks, spells, or other effects. The giant can't use this ability outside its lair, nor can it use this ability if another creature is using a control weather spell or similar magic to quell the storm. Mm-hmm. Fucking cool. So this is the only giant with a lair action, like with lair and lair actions.
I think you'd have to give it lair actions because I don't think it came with any, did it?
Yeah, I think you pasted them.
Oh, did I?
Taped them to the stat block.
Yes, I did.
But like compared to dragons, like they all have lair actions where this is the only giant with a lair action.
Yeah,
that's the only one, yeah. So a storm giant, so this is the quintessence lair. A storm giant quintessence has no need for castles or dungeon lairs. Its lair is usually a secluded region or a prominent geographic feature such as a mountain peak, a great waterfall, a remote island, a fog-shrouded loch, a beautiful coral reef, or a windswept desert bluff. Mm. As befits the environment, the storm in which the giant lives could be a blizzard, a typhoon, a thunderstorm, or a sandstorm. I'm only thinking hurricanes here. I did not consider these other things. Very cool.
Yeah.
Lair actions. The storm giant quintessence can use lair actions in giant form and while transformed in a storm. On initiative count of 20, losing initiative ties, the giant can take a lair action to cause one of the following effects. The giant can't use the same effect 2 rounds in a row. The giant creates a thunderclap centered on a point anywhere in its lair. Each creature within 20 feet of that point must succeed on a DC 18 constitution saving throw or be deafened until the end of its next turn.
Got more weather coming down.
The giant creates a 20-foot radius sphere of fog or murky water within water centered on a point anywhere in the lair. The sphere spreads around its corners and its area is heavily obscured. The fog lasts until the giant disperses it with no action required, and it can't be dispersed by wind. That's cool. Mm-hmm. Okay, the giant creates
blind you and make you deaf.
Yeah, man. The giant creates a 60-foot long, 10-foot wide line of strong wind or strong current within water, originating from a point anywhere in its lair. Each creature in that line must succeed on a DC 18 strength saving throw or be pushed 15 feet in the direction of the wind it is blowing. The gust disperses gas or vapor, and it extinguishes candles, torches, and similar unprotected flames in its area. Protected flames, such as those of lanterns, have a 50% chance of being extinguished, so odds and evens roll. Mm-hmm. Regional effects. The region containing a storm giant quintessence lair is warped by the giant's presence, which creates one or more of the following effects. High wind blows within 1 mile of the lair, making it impossible to light a fire unless the location where the fire is lit is protected from the wind. Rain, snow, or blowing dust or sand, whichever is most appropriate, is constant within 1 mile of the lair. Rain causes rivers and streams to fill or overflow their banks. Snow, dust, or sand form deep drifts or dunes. Flashes of lightning and peals of thunder are continual, day and night, within 5 miles of the lair. If the giant dies, the lightning, thunder, and high wind regional effects end immediately. Mm-hmm. Rain, snow, and blowing dust abate gradually within 1 to 8 days. So, yeah. That's
a lot.
Wild.
Yeah. It's a cool monster.
There's a lot here with the Quintessent. It makes it much more interesting than the regular Storm Giant.
Oh, yeah. Definitely.
But
remember, you can always give layer actions to original effects to any creature you want. You just got to homebrew it in.
Yeah. The idea being, like, when you're so powerful, the land around you is affected by your extra magic?
Yeah, just the aura of magic and, like, your personality. Much of D&D seems to be affected by one's, like, personality and wants when you're powerful enough.
True. Yeah like, your age amplifies all of it.
Yes, of course. You get ager. You get older and swoller and all this other jazz.
I hope I don't
get... Any questions about Storm Giants?
No.
All right. Well, I think we can get ready for a long rest.
We should.
All right. Let's do it.
My slippies are calling the power of the storm. They're firing lightning and wind javelins at people. And
is your hair standing on end?
It is. Any person within 1 mile of my slippies while I'm wearing them feels the electric energy of my slippies, and their hair stands on end.
Indeed, indeed. They're
like, I'll get goddamn Quintessent Storm Giant Brian's going to sleep.
Yeah.
1 mile from my house.
Exactly.
Thanks for watching the Dungeon Cast, guys.
Indeed. Or listening.
Yeah, listening. This is a podcast.
Yeah.
Welcome to the long rest.
Indeed, here we are. What do you want to talk about here in the long rest, Brian?
Thanks for leaving us all those sweet, good iTunes reviews. You guys are great. Mm-hmm. We really appreciate them. Mm-hmm. And your YouTube comments, etc., your likes and subscribes, your bell notifications, all the things that make podcasts and YouTube channels happy. We really appreciate you guys doing those things for mm-hmm. us, the mm-hmm. Dungeon Cast and the crew of the Dungeon Cast. We're going to have plans to get your special guest Jake on the show pretty soon. I think he's due. Mm. Probably do that soon.
Okay.
Super Quest Saga's back, been killing it.
Mm-hmm. We raised $2,000 for COVID relief.
Yeah so thank you guys so much for watching our Legend of Zelda randomizer.
Indeed.
And for donating.
Indeed.
Me and Will threw some money in the pot also, but like it was mostly you guys. So thank you so much for coming out and doing that.
Mm-hmm.
I think there are really important issues going on in the world, and it was really important for us to address them in some form or fashion. So thank you guys so much for being the awesome listeners that we know you are.
Mm-hmm.
If you know somebody else that wants to be an awesome listener, tell them about this show and make it happen.
Mm-hmm. Indeed.
That'd be really cool. I know I really like the camaraderie of having my friends listen to the same show, so I have something to talk about with people and be personable.
So
why not make it the Dungeon Cast? I know a lot of Dungeon Masters recommend certain episodes of their players to get more familiar with a topic,
mm-hmm.
so it's not so foreign to them when they break into a game, which is a really good use. I hope you guys are liking the new class episode, and we're gonna have another one soon. Basically, we want to make more content that's for the player also, not just the Dungeon Master, even though, like, as a player, I think it's interesting to learn about some of these creatures and the lore.
Mm-hmm, definitely.
We got a merch shop. That's another way you guys can go help support, and you can get yourself a sweet shirt or other item. What else? We got to do... I do, you know, you guys should know where to find us on social media. If you want to hit us up on thedungeoncast@gmail.com,
mm-hmm.
We should be back to answering emails soon,
mm-hmm.
With the chaos of life and all that, things get in the way. But we're back on our grind. We're back.
It's true.
We're doing it right. So, reach out. Say what's up. We'll be around. Join our Discord. There's really awesome people in there. And thank you guys and to all the moderators that do such a great job running that.
Absolutely.
It's fucking phenomenal just to go in there sometimes and see what's going on and how happy people are to talk about Dungeons & Dragons and even not Dungeons & Dragons stuff and other things. And thank you to everybody that's been working on the Super Quest Saga Wiki. It's fucking righteous.
Yeah, it's really cool.
And that I can tell you from Jake and Freeland's perspective, they also enjoyed it very much. Mm-hmm, so, mm-hmm. Yeah, thank you guys so much for giving back.
Indeed.
Let's call it a game.
Let's call it a game. We'll talk to you guys later.
Bye.
Hey there, this is Justin Bartha. I made a funny new podcast, King of the Egg Cream. It has the greatest cast in the history of podcasts with actors like Louis Black.
I'm torn by my feelings for two women.
Bobby Cannavale.
You can eat it, or if someone hits you, you can put it on your cut.
Melanie Lynskey.
I wonder what these marvelous things are that look just like boiled chicken feet.
Jason Ritter.
I can break things and pick locks and kill people.
Michael Stuhlbarg.
The whole point is to inspire people that they should make themselves better.
Ari Grainer.
No, don't whet its appetite. What are you, an idiot?
Me, Justin Bartha.
That's not just any egg cream, that's a Lemke's special.
And all narrated by the hilarious Richard Kind.
This is the story of Harry Dalowitz. And how he rose from nothing to become New York's King of the Egg Cream.
So if you like funny true stories, come listen to King of the Egg Cream, available wherever you get your podcasts.